Item number 12, migratory bird hunting regulations. This is also a decision. So Kyle, it's up to you.
Thank you very much, Director, Deputy Director. Thank you very much. Today I will be speaking to the migratory bird hunting regulations. My name is Kyle Spriggins. I am the new waterfowl section manager with WDFW. So this meeting puts us in the final steps of the process for migratory bird hunting regulations. Just as a reminder, that process this year started in September 2016. To develop the regulations that are being put before you now. With adoption, this will then go back to the federal, to Fish and Wildlife Service to be published in the Federal Register for the upcoming 2017-2018 season. So as a quick reminder of some of what I presented in March with duck populations, the main driver of the harvest regulations is related to mallard stocks, and in particular for us, the western mallards. For us, starting in 2010, the western harvest mallard model started driving whether or not what kind of season we were to experience, a liberal season. Starting 2 years ago, they started to incorporate some of the other states within the western portion of the mallard breeding population. And so we, as Washington, are now included in that model. Combined with Alaska and the southern parts of the flyway, this turns into this matrix of options for the regulatory seasons. And with the breeding population that was observed and counted this past summer, in the 2016 summer, we land very well into a liberal season package. What that translates to in Washington is similar seasons on both sides, well, exactly the same seasons on both sides of the state, 107 days in length. That includes the 2-day youth hunt, and total bag limits of a total of 7 birds, of which 7 can be mallards, no more than 2 female mallards. That maximizes the season length, starting in mid-October, running to the last weekend of January. The one change in comparison to this past season's regulations is related to pintail. Pintail follow a different harvest strategy model where the actual breeding pair estimate is viewed separately than the mallards. In this case, in the 2016 breeding pair survey conducted by Fish and Wildlife Service, we were at 2.62 million pintail. That's the fourth consecutive year of decline. And that puts us in this similar sort of harvest matrix at what they call a liberal one package, which means the full 107 days, but only a 1 pintail daily bag limit. So that is the only change from last year's duck seasons. Full 107 days, 7 duck bag limit. All 7 could be mallard, but no more than 2 hen mallards. And the 1 pintail bag limit is the main change. Redhead, canvasback, scot remain similar, exactly the same as last year. And within our state discretion, Western Washington for sea ducks is again at 2 scoter, 2 longtail, 2 goldeneye, and 1 harlequin season limit. With goose populations, in March I presented sort of 3 main populations that we keep track of, we keep tabs on. All 3 of these particular populations are well above population objectives set by management plans. Again, geese differ from ducks in that the flyway is actually set through their management plan process, sort of ideal objectives and harvest strategies that follow once numbers of a particular population are above a certain threshold. In this case, the 3 geese that we pay most attention to are cackling geese on the upper left, Wrangell Island snow geese on the upper right, and then what I presented in March was Pacific white-fronted geese, which often we might not pay a lot of attention to because we are not in the heart of their wintering range. But as I mentioned in March, all 600,000 that are estimated to be in that population certainly pass through Washington on both journeys of their annual migratory trek. With cackling geese, we have to tamper that with another population, dusky Canada goose, which is specifically in the southwest portion of the state. This last summer, 2016's estimate actually was much lower than the 2015 estimate, which brought the three-year average, which is what's used as the management mark, down to 15,436. Again, 20,000 is the threshold for which this population would become potentially open to harvest again. So we are below that threshold. With that, that creates certainly complications of managing both sport harvest towards certain species and populations like cackling goose that we want to harvest with these conservation concerns of dusky Canada geese. So compared to last season, where the bag limit for geese was a four-bird bag limit, this proposal separates out the three main species, the three main populations that we keep track of: Canada geese, white-fronted geese, to allow increased opportunity through not having hunters have to select or choose what species they are including in their bag limit. Where this sometimes comes into case is certainly on the eastern part of the state. Canada geese are a prized bag item, but snow geese are starting to show up in areas of the Tri-Cities. And to try to separate out that cumulative effect, we want them to be able to harvest four Canada geese and up to six snow geese. So this is no longer an aggregate. This separates out the three populations of management strategies and allows us more flexibility moving forward in terms of seasons and date and timing. With that, certainly during the March meeting, one of the topics that was brought up was with concern to the Southwest Goose Zone. This zone is where is the heart of dusky Canada goose wintering range. We share this responsibility with Oregon in terms of the wintering range, but these birds are breeding up in the Prince William Sound, Copper River Delta region of Alaska. With that, because they're still below this 20,000 threshold and closed, we are obligated under an MOU and the management plan to maintain dusky Canada goose abundance, distribution, and winter survival. That was the one that I mentioned, requires us as an agency to devote quite a bit of time in the field collecting data on marked birds, collared birds, so that we can derive these winter survival estimates. But at the same time, recognizing that we are trying to maximize length and timing of the ongoing goose hunting seasons to be able to harvest those other species that I just previously mentioned. During the March meeting, there were several members of the public that presented on the idea of going back to the previous version of what this goose zone was. As a reminder, this past year was the first time that Goose Management Area 2 was just a collective. All five counties were managed the same way, same timing, same season dates. Prior to that, the split of 2A to 2B was deemed not to quite catch the nuances between some of these, between the five counties, but in an effort to try to streamline and simplify, that was why the zones were merged into the five aggregate counties. The bars down below is just, again, this example of while we do have 107 days to play with, those 107 days fall within three, technically four windows. The September hunt is considered separately, but during the main sport season from mid-October onward, there can be three windows that span a total of 107 days. Because of our concerns with dusky Canada geese and our obligations with the conservation aspect signed in the MOU, we do have to maintain some level of monitoring with respect to harvest in this zone. the reason for the dates that were set for this last season were again revolve around the fact that we do know that these birds are in a full migratory movement during late October into mid-November. In goose literature, that is a time of highest susceptibility to harvest. When birds are first arriving into a new zone, certainly that is when they're at their most vulnerable. And we see that in that upper chart. That is the dusky encounters. The first 3 year periods listed, duskies were actually still potential to be harvested. They had to be checked at the check stations. These most recent 2 years, 15, 16, and 16, 17, they've been closed altogether. That number hasn't varied very much. We do know there's still legal harvest going on, but I would draw your attention to the total numbers at the bottom, that in fact we do see this sort of increasing starting in November and the highest encounter rates during December, January. That's been tampered with the fact that over the last 20 years, those minima, the smaller cackling geese that also winter in that same range, have started to absorb a larger proportion of the harvest. They make up a larger composition of what hunters encounter in the field. But we still have this problem with duskies being illegally harvested. Following the presentation in March, I had a chance to meet with the members of the public for about 2 hours after the meeting to run through a couple of different scenarios that I thought I was hearing them describe during their public testimony. This is a way that I've tried to lay out sort of what these options possibly were, with the top line, the dark green, being no change, status quo, same season dates. That second option was a subtle adjustment to a week at the end of January being brought forward in the season to allow maximum sport harvest to occur during that beginning portion of the season. Again, three windows of opportunity, but trying to shift where days actually fall within those windows. Anything below that, the yellow and orange, while they were suggested as possible changes, those changes would require going back to the prior zones. But what was evident in talking to the members that were there was that it's still the 2A, 2B still doesn't fix the problem. The problem is there is a difference of how birds act on the coastal zones versus these inland valleys. And that's not just along the Columbia River. That also happens in Grays Harbor County. So with that, and approaching a three-year season-setting process, the ability to actually talk through, well, what are appropriate zones? What are appropriate timings for these different regions that are all part of this goose zone is well-timed in some regards. So with that, the best option moving forward is a change from what was previously proposed in March, and it is that second option, keeping the full zone as Goose Management Area 2, but shifting 1 week from that second period up to the first and opening the first 2 weeks of the season 7 days a week. The problem is that we did have some inconsistency with what the purpose of this zone and the timing of these seasons are. While we are concerned about duskies when they are in the region, we're not concerned about them when they're not. And we are trying to offer sports harvest opportunity during that earliest part of migration when those other populations, cackling goose, white-fronted goose, snow goose, are actually moving through this same zone. So with that, what functionally occurs is actually a net gain of 11 days at the beginning of the season, a net loss of 3 days during that second period. But what's important to point out is that while that's to goose hunting, duck hunting is still open till the end of January. There is still access to the public lands, and there is still gunfire on the landscape and opportunity for duck hunting. And because of how the date shift with March 10th, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act date landing on a Saturday, we actually gained back 1 day in that third period for an overall net gain of 9 days by doing the subtle adjustment but without losing the goose management two zone as a whole.
Yeah, I have a question about
yeah.
one of your slides. you showed in that second period that the days of the week would be limited, but Ridgefield had different.
That's correct.
Ridgefield, so it's going to be different, or is it going to be open longer?
That's actually currently how it has run, is that during that second period, during the general season, Ridgefield National Wildlife Refuge is actually open Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So while it was portrayed that there's only 3 days a week in that particular zone, there are actually 5 days a week that are hunted. It's just Ridgefield Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So as I said, going forward, certainly there are needs that are still to be addressed. Part of that is maintaining our responsibility for monitoring, but also that the zones as they are not quite correct. But to try to tease out what actually tailors to the needs of these different counties and those zones related to trying to balance sport harvest and agricultural depredation is certainly a much bigger process and well-timed with this three-year season-setting public input period. But more than just the public, there's also input needed from our regional biologists and enforcement. And in reality, trying to tease apart what kind of strategies will allow us to make a decision on if we can feel comfortable about increasing the number of days per week during that general part of the season. As I mentioned, once the check stations went away 3 seasons ago, we've lost all ability to actually monitor harvest directly. We don't know total harvest. We do have field checks with our staff, both biological staff and enforcement, that are doing field encounters with hunters, but that number results in about a third of the actual previous totals. We don't know what the real total is. So harvest reporting cards is definitely a need in terms of assessing what kind of management, what effect management actions are having in this zone. The last changes are regarding Brant. Brant,
I've got another question.
Oh, sorry,
just
yeah.
Remind me, if there is a dusky take, the hunter cannot hunt goose for the rest of the season?
Correct. They have to have a zone validation to hunt geese in this particular area, and if they are found to have illegally harvested, they're invalidated. And in this case, because this goose is closed, they are sighted.
Okay.
Is this a problem with identification?
Certainly. Every hunter that is allowed to get that validation has to pass an identification test that can be in person at a regional office, but it is also online. We're trying to get it back up online. So
the education, there's an effort there.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, there is. It's a very long. There's a video. There's actually a video that's related to training hunters on identification during this period.
Kyle said that if they take a dusky goose, they are cited. What we've maintained is enforcement discretion with that. It was the first year, and the citation is not inevitable. It is a matter of circumstance and officer discretion. It could certainly move into that realm at some point, but right now there is that flexibility, and it's more of an educational opportunity right now. But it's still a violation. The potential is there, and it can be handled with a citation if that's appropriate.
Thanks, sir. But they are invalidated. With Brant, similar suggestion as what you saw in March is a proposal to include both Clallam and Whatcom counties with 3 set dates that parallel the restricted season in Skagit County. These areas, to the best of our data right now, indicate that they are primarily black Brant and not western high Arctic Brant, which is what we have the restricted seasons revolve around. So with that, those two counties would be added with 3 hunting opportunity dates. And then finally, with bandtail pigeons and mourning dove, the recommendation is that they would be the same as last year. What's important to note is that last Saturday was the Waterfowl Advisory Group meeting, that all of these proposals, including the Dusky Canada Goose Zone, were put in front of them and approved by the Waterfowl Advisory Group. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Do you know if the number of waterfowl hunters is declining? Because it's an area of hunting that recruitment's not easy. It takes a long period of time. And
yeah, that was actually a very highly touted question and topic of conversation during the advisory group meeting. Since about 99, somewhere in 99 to 2002, waterfowl hunters in the state have been pretty static. It's been a very consistent number. The number of authorizations that are sold every year are around 40 to 45,000, and that's held very consistently over the last 15 to 20 years.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In reference to one of your earlier slides, do you know if any Washington waterfowl hunter ever bags 10 white-fronted goose?
10.
Because I know a bunch of birders who would like to talk to that person.
Well, certainly I brought that up to the advisory group, and they assured me there would be several people that are very excited by that number. Again, it's a very narrow window of opportunity, but from all reports, places like Whatcom County, Pacific County, several of the island counties, and then certainly during the springtime, eastern counties in the state do experience brief pulses of white front. So the opportunity is certainly there.
Okay.
Even 7 ducks a day, that's, you got to have a lot of friends to give things away to. Any other questions? That is a decision. So
I move to amend to WAC 232-28-436 as proposed.
Motion has been made. We have a second. It's getting to be a well-oiled machine. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Kyle.